Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, it's another day and another Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio while Todd is out at Kennesaw State University this week. He's looking for students to annoy. Now, you know he's not annoying them. He is actually looking for students to witness to and share Jesus with. You know, he is good at that. And they say, you know, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. So let's turn it over now to Todd and see who he's planning to annoy right this moment. Todd?
Welcome to LARPing 101. Our guest expert is Brittany. They're LARPing over there.
Yeah, they are. It's actually my first time visiting to see some of this happening, but it's actually really cool. They basically are playing characters, and they...
But it's so violent.
It is a little violent.
And I'm really totally okay with it. I'm just surprised that our current culture allows for something so mean.
Yeah, well, when we were growing up, a lot of role-playing and stuff was really, regardless of violence, was really accepted. So I think
you were just goofing around like a kid.
And we're goofing around out here.
Like an adult. Okay.
Like an adult.
All right, so Brittany, I want to ask you 5 questions.
Okay.
All right, these are going to be philosophical questions.
Okay.
You ready for that?
Yes.
Right. Here's the first one. It's a teleological question.
Okay.
Why are you here?
I believe I spark positive energy.
Well, that may be the case, but is that the purpose for your existence?
I would hope so.
Where did you come from? I'm talking big picture stuff here. So where did you're a human being, you're walking erect, you can communicate, you appear to be more intelligent than like the grass or a dog, as wonderful as those things are. So where did you come from? How did you become a human being and have life?
Honestly, sure. I believe a lot in like chemistry and biology. So I think it was just like a mutation type of thing.
So evolution.
Yeah, evolution, very much so.
All right. So how do you know how you're supposed to live while you're here? What's your rule book for living?
Honestly, I try to be as best of a person as I can. And I play by my own rules, honest.
So you're writing the rules.
I am writing the rules, which is probably very not...
Scary?
I was going to say scary is very a good word.
Okay. All right. So when you fail to live up to what you believe are the rules, mm-hmm. a religious person would call it a sin. Somebody who's secular might just say, you know, some mistakes, life lessons. That sense of failing, how do you deal with it?
It's kind of like you said with mistakes. I just believe I made a mistake and maybe that's not the path I want to go on next time and try to, you know, fix mistake that was made, you know, do better.
Right the wrong. All right.
Yeah.
And then finally, number 5, if you've been doing the math on this, when you die, what happens?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know, because a lot of people talk, you know, heaven, hell type of thing. I think you just like don't exist and you like transform into something else, like maybe an animal. Something.
Reincarnation.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
It kind of sounds like you're making it up on the spot, I'll be honest with you.
Well, it's hard because what I believe in is a little not the norm.
What's the norm?
Exactly. What is the norm, though?
I think I know the norm.
What is it?
That was pretty bold, wasn't it? Reason with me.
Okay.
All right. Let's see if we can make our way to what the norm is and answer all of those questions holistically, meaning that they all make sense together. Because a worldview might get 1 or 2 or 3, maybe even 4 of them. But if you're off on the 5th one, the whole thing falls apart.
Definitely.
It all has to harmonize really well. So reason with me. It's pretty simple. This microphone, I know that there is a factory someplace with engineers who put this thing together and intricately designed it. I know that by looking at the proof, even though I've never been to Germany to visit the factory or to meet the engineers, I know there's engineers. I know there's a maker of microphones because I hold the proof in my hands.
Right.
I look at the creation similarly, and I just intuit immediately. There's a creator. Simple as that. Are you buying this?
Yes.
Right. So creation proves there's a creator. Now, let's keep reasoning. Can you and I agree that there are some things that are always wrong?
Yes.
Give me an example of what would always be wrong. All times, all places, no exceptions.
Murder?
I'm with you.
On the top of my head.
I'm with you. I think hurting somebody, raping somebody, there's never, ever, ever justification for that, right? Now, here's the problem. If there is no standard for what is right and wrong, you and I can't make that claim.
Right.
In other words, there has to be somebody who's in authority who has determined those things are always wrong. Otherwise, murder would be a preference issue because there's no law authority to determine that's always wrong at all times. We'd all be talking about murder as being a preference. Rape, well, you know what? You don't prefer rape, but I do, so it's okay. But because there is a supreme moral authority, we have morals that are always authoritative. Are we together?
Yes.
So here's what we got. Creation tells me there's a creator. Justice tells me that there is a law giving a moral being that has determined these things. All right? Keep going with me. If there's a creator who made the creation, that means you and I are made.
Yes.
Right? And as I look around, like that dog over there, that's a really pretty dog. It's a puppy, but it's really a beautiful dog.
It is.
The guy at the end of the leash is better than the dog.
I suppose. Come on. But you had to love animals too.
I do love animals. I didn't say I hated the animal, but I'm just saying the human beings are better.
Debatable. Dogs are human too.
No, they're not. They're dogs.
They still, you know, coexist with us.
They have some emotions, but they aren't as sophisticated in their emotions.
How would we know?
Because he's on the end of the leash. He's being walked. He gets trained.
True, but he can talk to us to let us know that we understand.
Exactly. But you and I can.
True.
We're not wagging our tails. We're talking.
Very true.
Okay, so here's where I'm going with you, Brittany.
Okay.
You and I communicate. Mm-hmm. You and I are probably the height of the creation. Mm-hmm. These buildings, they weren't made by dogs. They were made by people.
Very good point.
Right? Okay. We communicate. That tells me the creator communicates. You and I, we have emotions like love. So I'm guessing this creator is love. We have a sense of justice, right and wrong. So this creator must be just.
Right.
We have court systems, so there must be some sense of dealing with people's wrongdoings. Otherwise, we wouldn't have these things. They wouldn't really exist. So now I'm kind of getting a picture of this creator as somebody who's loving, just, relational. Because you and I, we just met. We're having a bit of a relationship in that two human beings just chatting, even though you're leaning away from me, which is a little bit of a signal. You're getting annoyed with me, but nevertheless. So I'm kind of intuiting my way to trying to figure out who this being is.
Right.
The creator is loving, just, communicative, creative, because it's very creative, artistic, powerful, because it's a huge universe. Right. So that is what I would say animates everything about the universe, the creator.
Okay.
If that's the case, then if we communicate, that tells me this being communicates. Has this being spoken?
I believe whenever you believe in something that it has to communicate with you, or it's very one-sided and it just doesn't work. So I do believe whatever you or whoever believes in whatever they believe in, that there's a communication. Sometimes it's not always two ways. Sometimes there's, you know, a little delay in like the radio, but.
All right. I want you to do me a really big favor right now. All right. Your generation.
Yes.
Actually, it gets made fun of a lot.
I don't blame them.
Actually, I do. I don't like it. I like your generation. I really do. And one of the coolest, almost everybody I don't know if you're Gen Y, Gen Z, whatever. You're younger than me.
That's the whole point. We're just younger than most people who are elders.
But you're always, can't say always, but you're so nice. Okay.
Oh. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so I don't want you to be as nice as I want you to be honest with what I'm about to say. Because right? I don't want you, because sometimes I wonder, it's like, you guys, you know, you let everybody talk and you let everybody say things and you're nice to them. I don't want you to do that. I want you to be brutally honest with me, okay?
Okay.
So here's my worldview. Here's how I put all of this together. I believe that, let's call it God, created the universe. Mm-hmm. and that there is justice and there's love and there's forgiveness and there's punishment, there's art, there's beauty, there's all of these things, because that describes God.
Right.
Right. And with that, now I need to figure out who that God is, because I've got this thing called a conscience, that courtroom in my brain. I don't write the rules. The one in authority writes the rules, and I haven't kept the rules. I know I haven't. I know I've been mean to my siblings. I know I've been mean to my wife. I've been mean to my children. I've lied at times. Mm-hmm. I've had pride, and I know that's wrong.
Right.
I get mad at drivers. I have thoughts that I shouldn't have. And I've got to deal with that. There's something inside of me that says that's got to be dealt with, because if we've got court systems, there's got to be a dealing of justice for everything, not just the murderers, the genocidal maniacs, and the rapists, but for all wrongdoings, lying, cheating, stealing, lusting, all of it.
Right.
It's got to be dealt with somehow. So now my question is there any system out there that deals with that?
All right, it is break time now on Wretched Radio. Hang tight, stay with us, and when we return, we'll get right back to Todd and Brittany's chat as Todd digs a little bit deeper into Brittany's worldview. Stay with us. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
And yet one more reason to consider MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, 400,000 Christians strong and growing, sharing one another's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. The average family saves $500 per month. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. There's a teledoc service. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. How's about their approval ratings are double that of traditional health insurance? But how's about this? During the month of November, initiation fee waived. One more reason for you to discover if MediShare is right for you and for your family. Simply visit MediShare.com/wretched and take 2 minutes to call 1-844-34-BIBLE. To see how much your family can save. 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you been getting the monthly Wretched newsletters into your email? If you haven't, you should feel slighted and left out, because you're really missing out. You're missing messages that are thorough and in-depth and cover a wide range of theological issues Christians are facing. You're missing updates on all the new things going on at Wretched. Updates on resource release dates, updates on upcoming sales in the Wretched store, and the most important update of all, Todd's haircut and beard trim schedule. And you're missing out on it all if you're not subscribed. But it's simple to rectify this huge mistake in your life. Just head over to wretched.org/newsletter and get all signed up. Oh, and I forgot to mention, as a subscriber to the Wretched Monthly Newsletter, you're eligible to win free stuff. We give resources away every day here at Wretched Radio to our newsletter subscribers. So don't miss the free stuff. wretched.org/newsletter. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You are a pro-life Christian, which is redundant, who happens to be frugal, which is unnecessary to point out, because that's what we Christians are, frugal, and you would like to support a life ministry that stewards your money well. Some great news from Preborn Ministries. They have saved 169,000 babies' lives. What is their secret? Ultrasounds. 80% of the time, a woman sees her baby, she chooses life. Right now, Preborn has a matching grant. $28 per ultrasound turns into two ultrasounds. Or for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds. But because of the match, you'll be saving 10 babies. The ideal time for you to support a life ministry who's going to steward your money well. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or visit preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Before the break, we were eavesdropping on Todd chatting with Brittany at Kennesaw State University, and Todd had just laid out our natural condition as fallen sinners, the guilt and the shame we all have that comes from being a lawbreaker. So let's get back out to campus now and listen in as the conversation continues.
Is there any system out there that deals with that, that helps me with my guilt feelings, my shame feelings, my lack of purpose feelings?
I go through the same thing, so I'm not honestly sure. That's why I take a lot of the matters into my own hands, besides what I can't deal with. Obviously, what you believe in your higher power sometimes has more control in a lot of those situations. And I believe and I hope that the higher power would take care of the situations I cannot, that are, you know, not, you know, I'm not godly. So I can't deal with some of those situations and fix them. So I just hope that and put faith into what I believe in will take care of it and hopefully fix it or show me which way I need to go to direct.
This is the part now where I'm going to ask you to be really honest. Okay, here it comes. Because this part is going to get a little dicey.
Okay.
I want to help you to conceive of who I think that God is.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me if you think it's right or wrong. All right?
Okay.
And here's how I want to do it. I want to do this a little bit unusually. I want to imagine that you, Brittany, have a date, not with destiny, but with God, the creator, your maker. And this just God is going to open up the books on your life. Because he's an eyewitness to everything, including the thoughts in our brains. And he, because he's just, is going to settle the score. Justice is going to be satisfied. So I want you to imagine whatever the scene looks like. It's a cosmic courtroom. You get pulled before the judge who knows everything about you, every thought, word, and deed, everything you've done in darkness, everything you should have done that you didn't do, and vice versa. And he opens the books and he sees everything, the lying, the cheating, the dishonoring parents, all of those, I'll call them sins, okay?
Right.
Would he find you, Brittany, innocent or guilty in his courtroom of justice?
Well, I know that most likely these people who are doing the justice are most likely godly because they're working with God. So I'm assuming they're-
This is God himself.
Oh, God himself.
Yeah, he's sitting up on the bench.
Well, I would hope he would be understanding that humans have human thoughts, human processes, human actions. But like we said, murder, you know, rape, that kind of thing is obviously really, really bad. I would hope he would be understanding to the fact that we are human. I think I would be, you know, innocent. So
let me bring you back down to earth. You break 10 laws, whatever it is, speeding, whatever you choose. All right. And you stand before the judge and you say, "Judge, I know I'm guilty, but I'm human. Will he let you go?"
I would hope so.
No, he will not. He can't let you go. He's sworn to uphold justice. Of course you're human.
Right.
But that's not an excuse for wrongdoing.
No, definitely not. And I understand that. So it's kind of hard because it's like, where's, you know, the thinking process between humans and obviously God is a little bit different too.
I agree. But I think the problem, though, is if they're like pretty good at what they do, he's going to be perfect at it.
Yeah, and you can't just let everyone go either. You have to uphold the justice system.
Bingo. I agree totally. I think that's reasonable, and I think that I can intuit that that is what is correct just based on my human experience here. All right. So the truth is, like me, I'd be guilty because I haven't kept God's laws. I have done bad things. We'd both be guilty, wouldn't we?
Yeah. As far as what his laws are, I think I would be guilty. But as far as maybe being a good human, I would be innocent.
Well, if I were comparing, here's what we tend to do.
We do compare that.
Let's just say we could make time just like one single minute. And there was a jail and it had Adolf Hitler and Genghis Khan and Stalin and Pol Pot and all these terrible guys. You know what they'd all be saying? He's worse than I am.
Yeah, definitely comparing. Definitely. Right. See, I can see that now that you kind of paint that kind of picture.
I'm so pride-filled. I think I'm better than everybody, frankly, because it's me we're talking about. I love me way too much.
Right.
Right. And so I have a tendency to be blind to my own shortcomings.
Right.
So God's law, the standard of righteousness, we'll just say is embodied in the Ten Commandments, lying, stealing, lusting, honoring God. That's kind of a moral code that we all have. I've broken those laws. You've broken those laws. We'd stand before God guilty. Now, here's the scary part. What should God do with guilty criminals? Send them to heaven or send them to hell?
Well, if we're going on that page, there is, purgatory if you believe in that. But I guess a lot of people would go to hell. And, you know, the angels, you know, people I believe are angels, would, you know, go to heaven.
All right. I don't know who those angels might be, but let's just talk about you and me. If we've broken God's laws because he's just, he must punish lawbreakers. He's got to do it. Otherwise, he'd be unjust. So that's, I'm sharing my worldview with you, taking you into God's courtroom of justice. All right. So here's the big problem, Brittany, and I think we all kind of sense this, which is why so many people invent systems to feel better about life. Mm-hmm. We have a conscience that confirms we've done wrong in the eyes of our Creator, and there's a price to pay. And I'm scared. I'm afraid to die and meet my Maker. All right, let's fast forward. Remember, we're trying to answer these big five questions holistically where they make sense. This is what I believe. Where did we come from? God made us. He actually custom designed you, knit you together in your mother's womb. Your maker, your designer, your creator, and your owner is God himself. Okay. And he's put you on this planet to glorify him, obey him, to follow him. The problem is we haven't done that and we've fallen short and I've got a guilt problem.
Okay.
And he dealt with, you know, it's funny you said something. You kind of hope that God would like figure out a way to help me with this. He mm-hmm. did figure out a way to help us with this. Jesus Christ, you've heard the name.
Yes.
You went to Catholic Church.
Yes.
Is God in the flesh.
Yes.
Who came down from heaven, never broke the laws, never sinned in any way, and voluntarily went to a cross because something was happening there. It wasn't just a guy getting beat up and murdered. Jesus Christ was taking the wrath of God for the crimes that you and I have committed upon himself.
Right.
He was being punished for our sins. Our sins were laid on him. Mm-hmm. And what the Bible teaches is his righteousness, his perfect keeping of the law, can be credited to us so that when we die, we can stand before the judge and be found innocent because Jesus Christ has paid our fine. All of these questions then are harmoniously satisfied for me. I'm made by God. I was made to live for God, but I haven't. Therefore, I've got a sin problem. God saved me from my sin problem. So now when I die, I get to be with him, the one who died to save me. And all of my big questions about life are satisfied holistically in Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what I believe. Now, I want you to be totally, totally honest with me.
Okay.
Is what I believe true?
I don't know if I can tell you if it's true or false because it's, you know, your truth, how you function and how you deal with your sins and stuff.
I understand. But here's my challenge for today.
Okay.
And you've been very polite, but I still want you to be really super honest. All right. I can believe this microphone is the supreme being of the universe.
Okay.
And when I die, I'm going to sing into this microphone in front of 20,000 people who scream my name and applaud me every single night because I believe this microphone is God. Okay. You would tell me I'm
really wrong.
Thank you.
Really
All right.
Wrong.
Right. So now I can't say, but that's my truth. You'd say, well, look, you believe it, but that doesn't make it true. This is either the supreme being of the universe or it's not. It's either true or false because beliefs do not leave the realm of reality.
So you want me to tell you if I think it's true or false, your beliefs?
Yes, ma'am.
Me personally, I think it's false, even though I was raised differently.
Yeah. I'll leave you with two thoughts and then I'll scoot because you've been really cool to talk to me this amount of time. One, what I just presented to you is not Catholic.
Yes, right? No, definitely.
Because Catholic says you've got to clean yourself up to make yourself acceptable to God. What I just said is we can't clean ourselves up.
Yeah, yours is more generic. Yours is more borderline. And I'm just basing it off of what I've known.
Well, what
I don't have generic.
What I describe, the Catholic system is works. You got to work your way to heaven. What I just described is grace. You've worked your way to hell, but Jesus will give you grace and he'll offer you mercy and forgiveness free and clear based on nothing we've done, but on everything he's done because he's that good. And the second thing I would leave you with is my encouragement to you would be to at least just consider what this total stranger said to you today, how the worldview that I just presented, it kind of answers those five questions and makes sense of the big questions that we should be asking without contradiction. It all kind of works. And so my encouragement to you, because it is a free country for now, And you have the right to believe whatever you choose to believe. Mm-hmm. So I've just presented my case to you for Jesus Christ. I would ask you to consider those claims and just wrestle with them today while you're watching the LARPers.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I'll think about it. Right. I'll consider it.
Now, are you just being nice or are you being honest?
Probably being nice, honestly.
I asked for it, so fair enough. All right. That's all I can do. All right. Hey, thank you very much.
And that is a teachable moment for us all. A very, very good example of, number one, someone that we all definitely need to be in prayer for. And number two, it is a good example of what clear and direct rejection of the gospel looks like. When you're evangelizing and you feel rejection of what you just shared, be kind. And remember, it's not you that's being rejected. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that should cause us to hit our knees and pray for those who reject the gospel. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. We start today with tragic news. I have the obligation and duty on reporting on the death of satire. You heard me right. It is absolutely unfortunate that reality has now become so asinine that satire will never be able to keep up. What happened, you ask? An organization by the name of Women's March sent a tweet yesterday apologizing for an email that was sent to supporters of that organization. Here's the tweet. We apologize deeply for the email that was sent today. $14.92 was our average donation amount this week. It was an oversight on our part to not make the connection to a year of colonization, conquest, and genocide for Indigenous people, especially before Thanksgiving. An actual tweet sent by an actual organization, and they meant it. Again, reality has now become more ludicrous than satire. A sad day. And good news now from an international pro-life organization, 40 Days for Life. The organization seeks to end abortion through prayer and fasting and holding vigils outside of abortion facilities. Made a big announcement last Friday as they celebrated 20,000 babies being saved from abortion. Since they launched their first campaign in 2007, the 40 Days for Life has not only helped save 20,368 babies, but shut down 114 abortion clinics. According to reports, 229 workers have also quit the abortion industry thanks to the efforts of 40 Days for Life. And in another news story that I wish was satire, but it's unfortunately reality, Fairfax County Public Schools reinstated books that they previously pulled from shelves because parent complaints. The names of the books, one's called Lawn Boy, the other I'm not going to mention. You're going to have to look it up. But they were temporarily pulled because their contents depicted homosexual relations, and it was so graphic that a mother read from them at a school board meeting, and she was cut off. You can actually look the story up on the Daily Wire. I will not read the excerpts from the book or, as I said, the name of one of those books. But they were pulled from the shelves pending a review by a committee. And earlier this week, the committee said the books were back in libraries as a part of their, quote, reaffirming commitment to support diversity in literature. What about absolute, disgustingly immoral filth? Because that's exactly what these two books are. But apparently, Fairfax County Public Schools feel like they need to be in the hands of students. Again, parents, please seriously start considering homeschooling your children. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back on Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Todd, of course, is out at Kennesaw State University today. And if you've been listening, he's one for one. That's right. I know some may view the apparent rejection we just heard as failure. Listen, it is not, because failure would be not to share the truth of the gospel with that young lady, even though it was obvious that she had an assortment, a potpourri of beliefs, if you will. Little from here, little from there. Look, our mandate from God is clear. Go into all the world and be my witness. In other words, share the gospel, throw the seed, water the seed, and leave it to God to reap the harvest. So let's get back out to the campus now with Todd at Kennesaw State University.
Prepare for a lesson on sociology, courtesy of Aaron, who is studying sociology. And you're going to have to tell me what that means. What do you study with sociology?
It's basically you just like kind of divulge into like people and how they react and like life situations and stuff.
So this is like right up your alley.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's kind of just like mixed in with mental health, but also like just how you react with other people as well.
Cultures, why societies do what they do.
Yeah.
So you must study history too.
Yeah.
So here, I'm actually want to ask you a history question. Do you know what is the Easter holiday about?
If you're religious and you believe in Christianity, it's about Jesus died for his sins and he got reincarnated on this day, I believe.
I think you're pretty close. But I would, though, as a sociologist, like to challenge the way you phrase that. Can I do that?
Yes.
You said, if you're a Christian and if you believe that, that's what happened. Wouldn't the reality be that event either happened or it didn't, no matter what people think about it?
If it happened, I guess, yes. But if, I don't know. I don't really
know. All right, you're a student of sociology.
I am personally a Christian, but like it's up to the eye of the beholder, whether they believe it happened or not.
Are you a postmodern thinker?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, I think you are too. I suspect you are. That truth is valid based on the beliefs of the individual. That would be somebody who's postmodern. That sounds like you.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to challenge your postmodernism, Aaron. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
I believe that the microphone I'm holding has all of the power in the universe. And if I sing a song by the Beatles called We All Live in a Yellow Submarine 3 times into this microphone before I die, this microphone is going to take me to an eternal concert where the Beatles will perform forever and I'll get to be in the front row. That is my...
But you only get to listen to Yellow Submarine? That doesn't sound like fun.
If you really like Ringo Starr. So that's my belief. Aaron, am I wrong?
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know what happens after you die.
We know that this microphone doesn't have all the power in the universe, and it's not going to take me to a Beatles concert.
Okay,
so you would say I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because
if you really believe that microphone can do that for you, then who's to say that it can't do that for you?
Well, I think reason and common sense would tell me this, yeah, this ain't it.
Obviously.
But belief is one thing.
Yeah.
Truth is another thing. I can believe a lie, but I would be wrong. Truth is not valid based on the intensity of an individual's belief. It stands or falls on its own merit, is either true or false. And I suspect, Aaron, you live more like a pre-modern than a post-modern.
What is that supposed to mean, though?
Well, do you ever take a test? And let's say you get an 88. Have you ever said to your professor, but I believe I got 102, so that's what I actually got? You would never say that, right?
No.
Instead, you go, oops, I missed 12 points. I was wrong 12 times. I get an 88. And you accept that because that's reality.
Right.
When you go to Starbucks, what's your favorite drink?
Pink drink. It's so basic.
So you get a pink drink. Yeah. And how much is it?
Depending on if I get a venti or grande, $4 to $5.
Would you ever say to the barista at the Starbucks about your pink drink, I believe it's 8 cents?
No.
No, because it's like, reality.
It should be 8 cents in the realistic. If I wanted it to be 8 cents, I feel like it should be. But like supply and demand, cost and all that stuff.
You can believe it's 8 cents, but it's not, and you would just be wrong. So you live like a pre-modern, but you've probably been taught postmodernism because you'll find this, I think, a little bit interesting with your sociology studies. you've been informed and perhaps educated to be a Greek dualist. Philosophically, a Greek dualist would say that there are certain things that are reality, like math and science. We test it, we verify it, we run the numbers. That's reality. But things like belief, that's on a different level. That's in the realm of personal. It's not attached necessarily to reality. So it sounds like you're kind of like that.
But what even is reality?
That's a fair question, my sociological friend. What is reality?
Who knows at this point? Like, there's so much stuff going on in this world we don't even know about.
Well, true, but how's about you think, therefore you are?
Yeah, I guess.
You've got emotions. You're a sentient being. Yeah. You think, you process, you feel pain.
Yes.
That seems like reality to me.
Yeah, that's reality.
But do you think we're maybe a big computer simulation?
No, but I don't think we're the only people in the entire universe. Like, not people, but like beings, living creatures.
Why do you believe that?
Because there's just so much out there that we don't know about.
Right, but wouldn't that be called ignorance, and therefore I wouldn't make a conclusion based on what I don't know?
I mean, to some extent, you're ignorant to not believe that there's not other stuff out there.
Well, it might be accurate to say, because the place is so vast, right, and because it is so extraordinarily big, that there could be something out there. But I would actually reason with you that we can know this is reality, and this is the only reality. Can I give that a go and try to persuade you?
I mean, this is our only reality in the current state, right?
Sure, this is as much as we can consume as finite beings. Sure, I would agree with that. All right, let me try to reason with you. This thing that we're swinging on right now, where do you think it came from?
It's made out of wood and, like, people made it.
Actually, I think it's made out of recycled milk cartons.
Is it?
It's plastic, I think so, yeah.
Be plastic, but this is wood and this is metal.
Fair enough. Okay, but this thing is sitting here. How did it get here?
Workers made it, built it, and put it up together.
Did you see them making it, putting it here?
No, but I mean, how did all these buildings they didn't just appear?
Well, that's going to be my argument. Precisely. They didn't just appear. You know there's a builder.
Okay, fair. Right? Fair.
Because there it is. There's the proof. Now, I would say to you that you, Aaron, are more intricately designed, certainly, than the swing set, even more so than that building. Even if it's loaded with technology, your wiring is so intricate, even in your eyes alone, there is no way you happen by yourself. I intuit that because you are made intricately, there is an intricate maker.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
So the question then is, who's your intricate maker?
Personally, biologically, my parents, but Jesus, I believe Jesus, but everyone here.
So you believe that Jesus is God?
I don't know. I don't really know. It's like a conflict of interest. Like, it's something that's like, okay, I didn't really grow, like, I wasn't raised Christian, but like, I chose to kind of be because I found peace with God and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, I kind of think reincarnation might be a thing and, like, a lot of other stuff.
Why do you dig reincarnation?
Because I feel like the fact of, like, we're souls and we are here to, I feel like, okay, this is what I believe, is that we each are souls and we come into our life to create our purpose to all as accumulation. In each different life, you have a purpose. And then once your soul has completed all its purposes, like, you go to heaven. Does that make sense?
I understand it.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But the question is that true?
I mean, I don't know, but it's just an interesting thing to think about. Like, what if that is what happens?
If we're talking about eternity, and if we're talking about an endless cycle here, we're talking about living on for forever in some state, I think that I'd want to know if what I'm believing is true. So coming up with something might feel good, but the question is it good?
I mean, it could be good.
All right, let me just explore yourself internally for a second. I'm going to guess one of the reasons you like the idea of reincarnation is because it's kind of a second chance program. So if I kind of biffed it in this life, I can give it another go at this and have another shot. That feels kind of good.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I get that. But I think there's a better explanation for how to resolve that internal, that what if I'm not getting this right here? Yeah. All right. And I think it comes back to the question about Easter. I think this might be the key to a lot of the parts that you got moving around right now.
Okay, hold it just a second. Let's break real quick right here. We will be back with more Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini master seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the master seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the master seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
You know, just a quick perusal of the Wretched store in wretched.org, and you'll notice resources like Road Trip to Truth, Life is Best, Untethered, Wretched Worldview, and all of our resources have one very distinct thing in common. And no, it's not Todd's ugly mug. Okay, maybe two things in common, but what I'm referring to, or who I'm referring to, is you. Seriously, because if you're a gospel partner, you are actually responsible for the resources we produce. We're just the mouthpiece, but our gospel partners are the engines that make Wretched run. Without you, there is no us. So if you're already a gospel partner, we humbly thank you. And if you're not an ongoing monthly gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one and help us continue producing biblically sound, Christ-centered content to reach the lost and edify the saints? Visit wretched.org/donate to get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today. That's wretched.org/donate. It truly does take us all.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you got to see this video? Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you got to see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched? See the work that they're doing and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord. Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Todd's been talking with Erin, a pre-modern, post-modern, and sociology major. She's got a lot going on swimming around in her noggin. So let's get back out to Todd and see if he can help her make sense of it all.
If Jesus Christ is God, and let's say he was beaten, hung in the air on a tree to die, and then 3 days later he rose from the grave, that just busts every law of nature, that a dead man comes back to life. And not only that, he's healthy and he can walk 6 miles that day. That was an extraordinary, miraculous event. The question is it true? Did it really happen?
It did happen. I think it did happen, actually. Yes, it did.
Why? why did that event take place? What was going on in the death and resurrection of Christ?
The Romans were mad because people were like being drawn to Jesus. And who's the one that ratted on him?
Judas.
It was Judas. Judas ratted on Jesus. And then Jesus paid for everyone's sins.
Exactly. Because we're sinners. Because we break God's laws. We don't live for him the way that we should.
And I actually was just having a conversation with my friend over there. I was like, I need to go back to church. Like, I've been kind of strained since I came to college. If I'm not gonna lie. So I just have been trying to find ways. Like, I just got my first job, so I'm kind of going back on the right track.
But I want to make sure, though, that you're on the biblical track. Okay.
Fair.
All right. Because the Bible says that a man, a woman must be born again, or he or she will not see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Just by using those two words, what do you think that means?
Just like you're born again, like you have a completely different perspective on life and how you treat others and just like wanting to walk in the way of Christ.
Let me just see if I can color that just a tad. I think you're on the right track with that. That when a man or a woman agrees with what the Bible says about ourselves, because we tend to say a lot of flattering things about ourselves. I tend to like me a lot. And I tend to think I'm doing pretty good compared to, like, you know, those people out there, and certainly better than Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have a high opinion of myself. And the Bible says you really need to rethink that, because I lie and I've stolen in my life. I've lusted. I haven't honored God's name the way that I should. I dishonored my parents. I was unjustly angry at people. In other words, I was a law breaker. And I have to agree with what the Bible says about me. I'm not good. I'm bad. So here's my question. Would you agree that Aaron is a bad person?
I would say that I have sinned, but I do believe that I'm forgiven through Christ.
Good thought. But just hang on to that one for a second. We haven't gotten that far in our little journey. Do you agree with the Bible when it says that Aaron is bad?
Inherently bad. Yes, but you can find redemption through Christ.
Amen. I agree with that, because that's what Jesus died for, right? To save us from the punishment that our sins have purchased for us, right? And that's what it means to be born again. You realize you're not good, you're bad, but Jesus is good. He died to save me, and now I don't want my sins anymore. I want my Savior. Have you ever been in an almost fatal car crash or a really nasty accident?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
When did it happen?
I was in fourth grade and it was New Year's Day, and I was in this hammock, and my friend, she was like a little bigger than me, and this big, huge tree fell on top of my back, and I was getting crushed to death and I almost died. And they barely lifted up the tree. Like, it was at her grandparents' house, and he was like on a ventilator. It's the small, frail old lady, her teenage 14-year-old brother, and I'm like 10. And they like barely lifted the tree up, and I had a broken collarbone, punctured lungs, broken ribs. Yeah.
You remember that, because it was a big deal.
Yeah.
You went from the jaws of death to life.
Yeah.
Okay. When were you born again?
I want to say November 18th, 2020.
What happened?
I was baptized, and I just like had a lot of freedom. It was really great.
So the baptism business, what did that do for you?
I just started like doing better. I just felt like I was doing a lot of good things. And then I kind of like, when like everything closed down after Corona and stuff like that, it just kind of like made it harder for me.
Okay. So would you agree with me? Your baptism didn't do anything for you. It was just kind of an outward profession of what you believe has already happened inside of you.
I would agree, yes.
So Jesus said that Aaron must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You're telling me for certain, beyond the shadow of a doubt, you've been born again.
It's hard because I feel like I was, and then like I strayed. So I feel like it's, I don't know, it's like always a kind of like push and pull relationship for me personally.
What does that mean?
like sometimes I just like resist allowing God to like just completely like take over my life and just like walk with God versus like kind of only talking to him or like going to him when I need it. You know what I mean?
Let me imagine that when you are tempted to do something you know you shouldn't, rather than obeying him, you obey your desires, and that's the way you go.
Sometimes, yes.
That's an internal battle, right? This might help you, Aaron. Here's a question for you. If you are God's child, if you are in Christ, do you think God loves you more when you are going to church or when you're doing one of those sinful things you know you shouldn't do? When does God love you more?
He loves me no matter what.
Exactly. Now fathom that for a second. Just grasp that for a moment. I don't need to know, but whatever your bad sin is that you like to do, when you're doing that bad thing, if you're in Christ, God loves you as much as if you were praying to him at that moment. Now just fathom that. And that is the very thought that should encourage you to not do that thing.
Right, right, right. I understand.
I got another question for you. In your own words, define for me the theological word justification.
Like backing something up.
Tell me in your own words, as best you can, what does the word sanctification mean? Justification has the word just in it, right?
Right.
So you hear justice.
It's like sanctum is like a safe place, right?
A sanctuary can be. But if you're thinking about the Latin word sanctus, you're thinking about the word holy. Sanctification is growing in holiness, becoming more like God. Okay? Justification is the theological doctrine that when Jesus Christ died on a cross, the last thing that he said was, "It's finished." He spoke seven words on the cross. One of them, the second and the last, was, "It is finished," which means justification has been completed. That Aaron, if she puts her trust in Jesus Christ, will not be seen as a guilty, law-breaking criminal, but will be seen as totally forgiven because Jesus Christ paid the judicial payment to God by dying on a cross for Aaron, so that you can be seen as justified in the eyes of God. That's the doctrine of justification. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you're born again, you're a justified saint of God, totally forgiven, seen as righteous in the eyes of God because of what Christ has done for you. That's the doctrine of justification. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine of sanctification says, because of your justification, now your desire is to obey him and to live for him because he has done that for me. Be careful that you don't confuse the two. Because if you think that by doing good, that's making you pleasing to God, you're wrong. Your justification in Christ makes you pleasing to God. And that's the knowledge then that motivates you to live the way that you're supposed to. As we part company here, keep those two theologies in mind and spend time thinking about you are loved by God as intensely as the Father loves the Son. He loves you because you've been brought into Christ. You've been forgiven. You've been adopted. You've been brought into God's family. You've been removed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And now, he says, obey and live for me because of what I've done for you. And that should be the thing that helps you to battle those temptations. That's the knowledge that causes you to go, I'm going to church because I want to learn about the God who died for me there. That's genuine Christianity. Don't mingle the two and confuse them because you'll get off track and you'll feel really rotten all the time or you'll become really self-righteous. And God wants you to be a humble, confident follower. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So as we part company, you're one of the most colorful people that we've talked to out here.
Really?
Absolutely. One of the most interesting, thoughtful people that we've talked to. I just hope that you will now leave, if you're in Christ, confident and joyful that you're his child And that will color the rest of your life and make everything make sense, including your sociology classes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, what an honest and transparent young lady. Be in prayer for young Erin. I'm not sure that we can actually know for sure if she's legitimately a Christian or not, but she seems to believe she is, and she seems to have a hunger, but she also seems persuaded by some other things. So let's all be praying for that young lady. And that's another Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.